Good morning, church. We are going to sing our opening hymn, Oh, How I Love Jesus, and we'll have you stand up and join us. Worship is from Psalm 34, 11 through 14. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. And Lord, I come to you, the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away. Oh,
Good morning. Doran, you're not up there. I'm glad you're there. And just want to greet you in Jesus' name as we come to worship Him today. And it's the reason why we're here, right? Are you ready to worship Him? Because it's all about Him, not about us. I do want to let you know that some of you know that we were up in Grand Forks, North Dakota, to see my mom. My mom was flown by airplane Tuesday night, probably early Wednesday morning, when she got to the hospital in Grand Forks. And she was just telling my oldest sister, just let me die. I feel I'm dying. Just leave me alone. They go like, well, Mom, the plane is on the way to pick you up and to take you to Grand Forks Hospital because there was a surgeon there and there was a room opening there. Bismarck didn't have no room. Fargo did not have a room or a doctor available, but there was one in Grand Forks. So that's why she is there. Just Mom would just say thank you for your prayers for her. And she is out of ICU. She had a surgery. It's not really a surgery. I think of a surgery as like an incision where they come in, they cut you open and do something. Well, they went down through her mouth and went into the gallbladder and found two big 15-centimeter gallstones, but they found out that there was a whole beach in her, beach of sand in her gallbladder. So she's been having attacks over the many years and has probably even been passing some of these things as the years have gone by, but she never said anything. I said, Mom, you're like a cat. You just go and don't say a thing. And she said, well, she didn't want to be known as one who's always wanting to go to see the doctor. And I'm going, good night, Mother. And so anyway, they put in two stents into the bile duct in the liver, so there would be some bile that would free-flowing from the liver and doing its thing. And by doing that, the stones have been pushed to the side, and so she has no pain. She's back. And they moved her out of ICU last night, or the night before. I don't know what day it is. But we came back Friday, and we're here today, and we're going to be going back up to Grand Forks after the service today and probably staying up there with her to see what goes on with all this stuff. But she's smiling, she's talking, she just kind of can't believe all that has taken place. And I go like, well, I can believe it, even though I have a hard time believing it, but it's a miracle. It's just really a miracle with everything. And so good news for my mom. And we just thank the Lord for that this morning. Praise you, Lord. On the other hand, Barb Jacobson's mother died this past week. And it'll be a service for her mom in Joyce, Iowa, this coming Saturday. And so I just want you to be aware of that. You know, we got some good news. We could have just as well as been having the same kind of thing going on in our lives with planning a funeral for my mom. But the Lord's been gracious and given us mercy. And I know that Barb's mom was waiting for heaven. And it's a loss for the family. but they rejoice in knowing that she's with Jesus in heaven. And that makes a big difference too, doesn't it? Just want to say too, I want to sing happy birthday to Ron Knutson. He's turning 90 on Tuesday, and there is cupcakes honoring him today. Is there cupcakes? I think there is. Oh, there you are. What are you doing way back there?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
He's standing up.
Happy birthday, dear one. Happy birthday to you.
I did tell my mom. I did FaceTime with her last night. I'm not a high-tech guy. And all I know is I look at my phone and I see my face on there, and then it went smaller and I could see my mom. And I told her today that I'm going to have you stand up or turn around and wave at the camera, because I didn't think she would be able to watch us by Zoom, but she said, I'll be watching you on Zoom today. And so I go like, I just want you to see the faces of the people who have been praying for you, Mom. And so they're going to just turn around right now, or just wave. You can do whatever you want to do. Wave to the camera. Steve's back there. And just thank these people, Mom, for those that have always had you close to their heart as well. So she said, you don't have to do that. I go, I know, but I just thought it'd be fun to do. So you see the bulletin announcements that are here. I just want you to know that the only change that will be in here is I'm not sure if I'll be here Wednesday night when you have the Wednesday night fellowship here. And I see that my friend Dan Winkowicz is going to be here sharing that night too, which I just would love to be here to hear him as well. But there will be no, just playing it safe, there's not going to be Lunch with the Bunch again this Thursday, because I'm just not sure if I'm going to get back for that or not. So just keep that in mind. Those of you, spread the word. There's some that come that aren't here today, but you do see them. If you remember to call them, just say, hey, there's no Lunch with the Bunch because of just pastor's gone. He's out of town with his mom. So that's all they need to know. And there is things on the other side of the flyer that you've got, the bulletin as well. Take notice of that. And thank you, Amy, so much for putting it all together. Even I wasn't here, but it's good to come and see, like, wow, that was, you did a lot. Thanks very much. So with that, I just want to have prayer with you this morning, and grateful for your presence here. And now let's go to the Lord and open up our hearts and help him, asking him to help us to open our ears this morning as well as we hear his word. Heavenly Father, we are grateful, and yet at the same time we are sad. Lord, we know that there is a funeral being planned and one that will be coming forth here in the coming week. We just pray, Lord, you be with Barb and with Roger in a way that they know it's you that can comfort them and consoles them. And of course, they're rejoicing today because they know that Barb's mom is where she's always been wanting to go. And so she's there now. And so the family goes through the loss. And so I just pray, Lord, that they would sense your closeness and your nearness to them today and the days ahead. And even it's one of those times and one of those things that we never look forward to doing, but it happens in life. I thank you, Lord, for answering the many prayers for my mom, that she is where she's at. And it's just so good to be able to see her smile and to hear her laugh and to realize that she is getting the best news ever sometime in the days ahead of being released. And so give her patience during this time, because she feels like she's in a jail. She can't get out of the hospital until they say so. And that's understandable. But we give you thanks, Lord, for where you have brought her through, as well as those of us that have been there and praying and being by her side during this time too. So Lord, last but not least, we're just grateful that we can, that we have the privilege to come and to worship you together, to celebrate birthdays, to just celebrate one another's lives and presence here today. Thank you for those that have recovered from being sick, that are here today, some that have COVID and aren't here today because they are just staying away from people and looking to you to bring that healing that only you can bring to them as well. And so, Lord, may we rejoice in you today for who you are, a great God, and that we'll be reminded of that today through the songs and through your word as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, responsive reading. That's what comes next. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him.
Do those words ring a bell? We have come into this house and gather in his name to worship him. Okay. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary.
Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship him.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness.
We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him.
Let's worship him, Christ the Lord. Come, Christians, join, sing Alleluia. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in there. That's a song too. Labone here. I can say his name correctly today. Okay? Labone. With Melissa and don't tell me, I know it. Jubilee, Lydia, Serenity, and Harvest are their four kids. Glad that you're here. Glad you're here. Well, I'm sure what you find here for worship, LaBone, is a whole lot different than what you're used to, you know? LaBone is, he comes from the country of Congo, the Congo in Africa, and he's married to Melissa from Waterloo, Iowa, and he just wanted to get out of Waterloo and come to Milford. Isn't that correct? No, it's not good. I was thinking that sometime if I can't be here, I want you to preach. Yeah, you think about it. I'm just giving you a little heads up there, okay, because I know you could do it. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word for us today. It's back in the Old Testament. It's Joshua 24, verses 14 through 18. And there's going to be a verse in here that you'll be very familiar with when I read it, or you'll understand it. Joshua 24, 14 through 18. It says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Heavenly Father, we hear these words of yours today, and we pray, Lord, that they're not just words to just to hear today, but they may be words that will become a part of who we are. We see your faithfulness. You see our unfaithfulness, and yet you continue to call out to us, and you invite us to come to you for forgiveness of our sins and to let you have your way in our lives and in our hearts. So may this word today that we hear and that we will hear more about, may it fall on good ground. May good seed be planted in our hearts, and may it sprout and grow as well, we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The background of this text is that Joshua, who is the successor, the one who follows Moses. Now, did Moses have a fun, easy time in the wilderness with about 1.5 million people? After they left Egypt? Was it a good time? A good journey? Well, there was good times and there was bad times. Just like life for us, isn't it? There are good times and there's bad times. But Joshua is now the leader, and before the people of Israel go to the promised land, cross the River Jordan into the promised land, he is giving them instructions, and he's reminding them of all the places, all the things that God, the God of Israel, has done for them. And he recounts that, and we find that in verse 24, and it says that he assembled the tribes of Israel at a place called Shechem. Does that ring a bell? Shechem? I don't blame if it doesn't, but as I studied this, I go like, I was like, Gomer Pyle. Shazam! Shechem is where God called Abram and Sarai from in the region of like modern day Iraq, Iran, from that area, called them to leave their family and everything and to the land that I will show you. And when they came to Shechem, it's where God spoke to them and he built an altar at Shechem. It's a great place. It's one that Joshua is reminding the people going way back to Abraham. And you know who Abraham comes from? A tribe known as the Amorites. He was not a Jew. It was God who chose and made a people, called them the children of God. They're known as Hebrews, and then we know them better as Jews today. But he's reminding them of all the things. He does a little history lesson, reminding them of all the places where they have gone and how God has been with them and helped them through to where they are at today. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. Moses cannot go into the promised land. He's going to die on top of Mount Nebo, which is on the east side of modern-day Israel. He was not allowed to go into the promised land because why? Remember, he struck the rock twice when he was told that he was to speak to the rock for water to come out. And instead of speaking to the rock, he hit it. And in the New Testament, it reveals to us that it wasn't just an ordinary rock. He struck Christ at that moment. And therefore, he was not permitted to go into the promised land for all the things he did for the people of Israel. It's amazing. But now Joshua is next in line. He is to take the people into the promised land. Moses can only watch from a distance. But if you remember, it was Moses who sent in 12 spies to check out Jericho and the surrounding area and to come back and to report to Moses. What did they find out? And out of the 12, there's only two that said, if the Lord said, this is our land, then let's go take it. God said he would fight for us. And it was Joshua and Caleb were the only two that said, let's go. The other 10 persuaded the other people of Israel to not go. And they said, you know, we were like grasshoppers in the eyes of the people who live in that area, who live in that land. There's no way we could beat them or defend them. They're well-fortified cities. And they brought back how productive that land was. It took, you know, this one clump of grapes they had to put on a pole, and two guys had to carry it back to show Moses and the people there of how fruitful this place was, that they had grapes of that size, that one man couldn't carry it back alone. So it makes you wonder, how big were the raisins? If it was the grapes they brought back. But that was before Raisin Bran. But at any rate, the people sided with the 10, not with Caleb or Joshua. So now Joshua is in control. It's kind of like where Moses passes the baton to him to lead the people into the promised land. And reminds them about Shechem. Shechem is also the place where they brought back the bones of Jacob in Egypt. They brought his bones back and buried them in Shechem. Shechem was a name of one of the guys that lived at that time, way back then, who fell in love with Diana, the daughter of, I think her name is Leah, Leah's daughter that was born to her, but he basically had raped her. And he went to Jacob to say, I want your daughter. When he found out what he had done to her, he told his sons. Do you think his sons were happy? It'd be her brothers, Diana's brothers. They found out what Shechem had done to their sister, and they came up with a clever plan. He could not marry Diana unless he was circumcised. And Shechem swallowed that hook, line, and sinker, circumcised himself, as the rest of the other men, and that's when the brothers went and killed him. Killed them all, because they were in so much pain, they couldn't fight, but they killed him. That was not a good thing. So there's some good things with Shechem that goes along with that, the history, as well as some bad things. But Shechem is the place where Joshua wants to bring the people back to and give them a little history lesson and to remind them that when they first came into Canaan, Canaan was inhabited by Amorites, the same tribe as Abram that we better know as Abraham. And God showed himself in protecting his people. And so the mentor to Joshua could not have been better. His mentor was Moses. He learned a lot from Moses on how to lead people, on how to handle different situations. You know, when the people got a little cranky, a little bit grumpy, you know, what do you do? What are some of the things you need to do when that takes place? Sounds like a pastor. What happens when the congregation starts complaining and being grumpy? Pastor hears a lot of things. How are you supposed to handle that? You listen. There's a lot of listening that goes on rather than action. And there's a lot of praying that takes place. Because you know something? The church is not mine. The church is God's. Whatever happens, it's God's responsibility. And yes, I do play a role in that, but it's still God's church, not mine. He will guide, he will lead. He knows what we need. He will supply, he will bring, he will take away. Who knows? He does a lot of different things. It happened in the days of Joshua. It'll happen even today's day as well. Here is the main point of today's text. You can't sit on the fence with God. You cannot be a fence straddler or straddle the fence. You have to choose which side of the fence you're going to be on. You can be with your forefathers, the people before you, and we saw that they worshiped other gods. And this was the big thing for Israel. They somehow always got tangled up in wanting the gods of their neighbors. Stones and wood and things that they made with human hands. They were just attracted to that. God says, okay, I'll let you know that I'm in your presence because they're I will come to you as a cloud in the daytime. When the cloud moves, you move. In the nighttime, I'll be a pillar of fire. They always knew that God's presence was there. And yet, they didn't get it. Just like us. We didn't get it. We don't get it. God's with us. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. You believe that? Of course we say, yeah, I believe that, but when it comes right down to it, when bad things happen, difficult things happen in your life, are you reminded of those words? And you kind of go like, okay, got to think this through. I got to give this to God. Let him handle this. So we find that when Joshua gets to the end of his history lesson of how God has been faithful to his people over the years, from the very beginning, it is Joshua who says to the entire group of people, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And he leaves that to the choice of the people. But he says, this is where I stand. We're going to serve the Lord. You can go and run after other gods if you want. You can serve other gods if you want. But as for me and my house, me and my family, we'll serve the Lord. Easy peasy, right? Moms, dads, grandpa, grandmas, easy to do. Wrong. It's tough. But you know, it's a lot like the salmon. If we could learn something from nature, the salmon, when it comes time to spawn, which direction do they go? Do they go with the current or up the current? They go against the current. They go against the current. It is that way in being a Christian as well. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. How many times do we go along with the current? Too often. Maybe we're a little bit sheepish. Maybe we're kind of like, well, I don't want to admit it. But the truth is, oftentimes we get tired, worn out, and sometimes we just throw in the towel and we say like, okay, enough of this. I'm not going to go against the current anymore. I'm just going to go with where everyone else is going. Eat, drink, and be merry. That becomes the new motto. It's not a new motto. It happened way back in Jesus' day too. So Joshua tells the Israelites, it's decision time. Who are you going to serve? It's what Elijah said on top of Mount Carmel with the challenge of the sacrifice up there. You pray to your God, but the God who takes a sacrifice by fire, that's the real God, that's the true God. And Elijah was a gentleman, and he said, you guys go first. How many more there? At least 850 prophets of Ahab and of Jezebel. And they did their best in trying to call upon their God to come down with fire and take up that sacrifice. And did it happen? Nothing happened. And so it becomes Elijah's turn. He kills two bulls. Of course, maybe they're already dead, I don't know, but they put the two bulls on top of the altar, and then Elijah does something just doesn't make any sense. He has people go get some buckets of water. He says, pour it over the bulls on the altar. And then he said, okay, make a trench around that altar, and he said, bring some more water. So he did this twice. And then he said, I think we need more water. So he asked three times to bring more water till the water filled up the trench around the altar, and then he prayed. And the scripture tells us that fire came down from heaven, and the fire didn't just take the bulls or the altar, but it sucked up the water too. Decide who you're going to serve. The ones who were prophets of Ahab and of Jezebel, false prophets, they were eliminated. Elijah took them to the sword. But Joshua, just like Elijah, just saying, you choose. It's a free choice. You decide who you're going to serve. Even if he should be left by himself, he said, me and my house will serve the Lord. Freedom of choice is not ever forced. You want to do this, not because you have to, but you want to do it. That makes a big difference, doesn't it? The law is always pointing its finger at you. You better do this or else. The gospel says it's already been done for you through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins. And he'll forgive you. And he rose again on the third day like he said he would. And he showed himself again and again for 40 days before he was taken up into heaven. And some of his disciples even saw him go up into heaven, and he said that he will be back someday. And we're waiting for that return, aren't we? So Joshua, what he's talking about here, it's not something that is hidden from everybody else. It's just like, well, it's my personal opinion. No, he says openly to other people, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you ever done that, where you've told people, well, I used to be that way, but since the Lord came into my life and the Lord is leading me, I've just taken another different path. Jesus talked about that path in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus who said that broad is the road that leads to where? Destruction. But the road of eternal life is narrow. And he's just stating a fact. Follow the narrow road that will lead to eternal life, or take the broad road that leads to destruction. So just think about that for just a second. Well, maybe more than a second. Most people are going to be traveling which road? The broad road. Now think about eternity. Think about hell. Is there going to be more people in hell than people in heaven? According to Jesus, there will be many more taking the broad road because they do not want the narrow path or the narrow road. How about you? Broad or narrow road? You're on one. You're one or the other. You can't say like, well, I'm a neither. I'm just sitting on a park bench here waiting and watching people go by. It doesn't work that way. Joshua is saying, today is the day. What are you going to do? Follow the broad way, which is serving other gods, or are you going to take the narrow path that leads to eternal life? Those that are bound for heaven must be like the salmon who swim against the stream, against the current. Those who are bound in going to heaven will not do what most people do. Those who are bound for heaven will live differently and do the best from the best of those that they've known who've loved Jesus in their lives. Each one of us here has had someone that has crossed your path in life, in the journey of life, that has given you that opportunity to go on the narrow road or to go continue on in the broad road. I know what it's like to be on the broad road. I thank God when I came to the fork in the road and says I have another choice. I didn't want to go to hell. Hell's a real place. Eternity is a long time. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. And Jesus is that way. Because he is the truth. And he is the one who only gives eternal life as he forgives us of our sins. But some people don't want to repent of their sins. And Joshua would just say, well, it's up to you. Don't repent. Don't expect to go to heaven then either. Come. God takes anyone and everyone, no matter what you have done, where you have been, where you're at today, he'll take you right where you are. He'll forgive. And you have his assurance that you'll be with him forever, as he's done everything for you. It's just believe in him. Trust in him. Let him work in your life. You are not on the throne anymore. Jesus is on the throne of your heart. And now you listen to him. You don't listen to yourself. You listen to Jesus. And God's word will guide us of what to do and where to go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that today is that day that many of us don't like even to hear this kind of a message. But how can you not hear the words of Jesus when he says that there's two roads, a broad road and a narrow road, and there's only one that leads to eternal life? Why would anyone want to continue on the broad road, knowing where it leads, where it will take you? But today we can ask you in our hearts to forgive us of our sins, because we want to be on the narrow road and to follow you. May we be like the salmon who will go against the current. And we live in a day, Lord, where there's not many people who want to go against the current. There's not too many people that want to take the heat or be called names that aren't true. But they want to be identified with Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So help us, especially today, in the times in which we live, that we know that we're going to heaven. And we base that on what God's word says. It's not how I feel. It's not my own opinion. It's what God's word says. That's what truth is. As we live in a time when truth is irrelevant to so many people. But Lord, your word will always be true. It will do what it says it will do. You never lie. So it's just simple. We just say, we just pray, Lord Jesus, here I am today. I know I'm on the wrong road. I want to come on to your road that is narrow, and I just want to follow you regardless of what anybody will say. Help me, Lord, because I can't do this at all by myself. I look to you, I lean on you, I ask you to help me to live for you each and every day. It's by your grace, it's by your power. Help us to be like the salmon. May you be our hope and our peace and our strength as we live for you and let you have your way in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May you stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Just want you to know before I say the benediction is that Sharon and I are going to leave right after church to head back up to Grand Forks to be with Mom. We'll probably be gone. I'm just thinking we'll probably come back Thursday sometime, but there would be no lunch with a bunch. And hopefully she will be released. And then we plan on taking her and my sister back to Garrison, North Dakota. And we'll be there for a little bit before we come back. So that's kind of like, that's the plan. If you've got any questions about anything, please call Amy Johnson, church secretary. Her number is usually on the back of the bulletin, I think. Let me see here. I guess it's not. It should be, though. But anyway, just get a hold of Amy or leave a message. I guess she will get it somewhere along the way as well. But that's kind of the plan. But I just want to thank you so much for, that's kind of what we're going to do. I mean, of course, if somebody said you can't do that, Pastor, you got to stay here, I just would have to say, I have a word to tell you that is very theological. It's called baloney. I need to be with her and my family during brother, sister, whatever, that kind of a thing. So thanks for letting us do this, and thank you for your understanding. And so now I just say, Lord, may you bless these people, these friends of mine. And Lord, even though they're my friends, they need to have that relationship with Jesus Christ so that they can be your friend as well. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins that you give to us, even though we don't deserve it. But you forgive us. May we stay close to you in all that we say and all that we do. Bless these friends here today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There'll be another song followed. It says, God be with you. Till we meet again. I bet that's what it says.
Let's stand as we sing our closing hymn.
Lord.